This is Sherry Yuen Hunter. Welcome to the Sandwich Parenting Podcast, where we speak with amazing people making the world a better place by helping others heal from intergenerational trauma. Sandwich parents are in between the way we got parented and the way we now want to parent our children. Stephanie Chan is the founder and owner of two companies in the senior living industry, and she has a passion around helping seniors and family caregivers. So her first company, Home to Home, helps seniors and families with caregiving, healthcare navigation, transitions, and care management. And her other company, My Care Base, helps families find and hire pre-screened professional caregivers, and then provides tools for the family caregivers to manage that care remotely. And I'm really excited to be able to have a chance to talk with Stephanie today, because this is a topic that not a lot of people talk about, but it's something that we all struggle with, or eventually will have to struggle with. So please join me in welcoming Stephanie. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
I'm so glad that you were able to join us today. And my first question, usually with all my guests, is because I consider all of you superheroes and all of you are always kind of doing things that are making the world a better place for people, I'm curious about your origin story, because how did you end up doing this work? You know, you're supporting the caregivers of aging parents. This is very specific.
Well, I'm one of those people, I would say, that took some time to really figure out what my calling was and where my passion was. And I didn't really figure that out, I would say, until my mid-30s. And so, like I'm sure many people have experienced, I went through university, had a great time. University was fun. But I graduated not quite knowing what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. And I think that's a pressure that probably a lot of kids face. But you learn that you don't have to do just one thing, right? People change careers now many, many times throughout their life. But I started out actually going to law school. So my undergrad was a business degree, and then I went to law school. And then early on in my legal career, I could just tell that this wasn't going to be what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. Mm. I ended up in a clean tech company as general counsel. And once I went from the law firm to a company, I really learned a lot. It was challenging. It was fun. But at some point, I kind of peaked and realized, you know, if I don't make a change now, I'm never going to. And after 10 years of practice, I decided to leave law cold turkey. And around the time that I was thinking, wow, oh, what should I do next? I was on a charitable board and I met someone in a different city that had a business serving seniors. And I thought, what a great thing to do. You're helping others and you have a sound business model. And the more I thought about it, the more it felt like it was my calling. Like everything, I can't really explain it. Everything intangible kind of felt like it was pushing me towards this path. So that's when I started Home to Home in 2007, helping seniors with care navigation and finding solutions for when they needed help or to make changes in their lifestyle. And I realized that what I was meant to do was be helping people at this stage of their life, making a meaningful impact, even in the smallest chapter of their lives.
What would you say are the biggest challenges that caregivers of aging parents?
I definitely notice patterns. Mm. And I would say the biggest challenges kind of fall in three main areas. The first is what I would categorize as the typical challenges that we associate with the quote unquote sandwich generation. And so this is about balancing all of your responsibilities, work, life. You're typically taking care of multiple generations. So you might be raising kids and starting to care for your aging parents, and you might have in-laws that you're also caring for. So there might be four parents in the mix, and you might be working full time. And all this time you're trying to do a good job at everything and being spread thin and having no time for yourself. The second major category, I would say, would be all the emotional challenges that come with caring for aging parents. And when we work with families, the common emotions that we see with clients would be guilt, the feeling that we're not doing enough or not knowing what to do, dealing with resistance, because that's so common when you're trying to convince a parent to make a lifestyle change. Emotions come out when there's family conflict. So maybe not all the siblings agree on what's best for mom or dad. And all the emotional challenges are really tough because for the person going through it, I think they feel alone. And one of the things I want to just say right now is you're not alone if you're going through this. The third thing I would say is informational challenges.
Yeah.
People just don't know where to get the information because it's fragmented. It's hard to get it from one source. They don't know who to talk to, where to turn, how the healthcare system works. And so it's hard to get the information to make good decisions.
And so this is why you created your companies, because you're trying to bridge these challenges.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Yeah.
That's amazing. And I know you also do coaching, because you would have to if you're kind of working with everybody. This is not just here's a checklist or, you know, just do this. Like, so you're doing a lot of change management. You're doing a lot of coaching, and you're doing a lot of nudging and a lot of education. And in our conversations and kind of it kind of shows up in your website a little bit as well. In all the coaching that you do, you focus on self-care. Right. And so I'm kind of curious, because I talk about self-care a lot with my clients. Self-care comes up a lot in all the other interviews with different guests. What does self-care look like to you?
So overall, I would say caregivers, and I think most people who are caregivers know this, caregivers put themselves last. Right. So you're taking care of your kids. They have their activities. They have their issues. They have school. And then you're caring for aging parents. And there's a whole set of issues associated with that. And you have very little time for yourself. And I 100%. Think that's why people get burnt out, is it's just overwhelming. It's stressful. And they put themselves last. And so the overarching message is don't put yourself last.
But what does that look like? You know what I mean? Like, that's the message. And so as you're working with them, and as you're coaching with, you know, as you're coaching them, like, how are you helping them understand that? How are you helping them, like, make that change?
It's about setting boundaries around what you will and will not do, or the time commitment. So it's carving out, for example, carving out a time of the week, even if it's once a week, that you do something for yourself. And then you think about, you self-reflect about what is it that gives you the most joy, because having fun and exercise creates endorphins. And so what is it that you enjoy doing the most? And that's going to be different for everybody. It might be socialization. It might be getting more sleep. It might be exercise. It might be eating something, allowing yourself to eat something you would normally not eat. Could be spending time with friends. But just whatever that is, carve out time in a week. It's kind of like what they tell you on a plane, right? Put on your own oxygen mask first before attempting to help others, because you're no good to the people around you if you're burnt out and have the breakdown.
Have you had clients that don't heed this advice?
Of course, because you get, no matter what advice you hear, you go back to your daily grind and your stress, and then you forget what you heard. But you just have to stay committed. I would say put it in your calendar,
like a recurring
appointment. And also, don't feel like you have to do everything yourself. That's another practical tip for avoiding burnout, is you have to share the responsibility. So in addition to putting themselves last, I think caregivers have a tendency, especially women, to feel like they have to do everything themselves. And that's not the case. So I would advise people to not be scared to ask for help, spread out the responsibilities, and look not only within your own family to share the responsibilities, but who is in kind of the outer circle of neighbors and friends, and then who is in the kind of even more outer circle of professional help.
Yeah. It's so interesting that we live in a world that's more and more complicated. There's so many different layers and responsibilities that everyone's trying to balance. And it's become, you know, when you think about how families used to be, that we lived in multi-generational households in the past. Like more of a village, like more, right? Whereas in a more modern world, we don't actually see the role modeling of anybody else in a multi-generational home taking care of each other and doing these things. So these become skills that we really don't know because we haven't seen it. And so kind of talking to professionals and saying, help, like, I don't know how to make these decisions. I don't know what questions to ask. I don't know where to start. And so that's really powerful to think that there are people out there who this is what you do. You and your staff, you and your colleagues, the people that work with you, this is what you do. This is what you know.
Right.
And there's a sense of relief, I think, to say, at least I can talk to Stephanie and figure out what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah. And going back to this principle that you're not alone, that a lot of people are going through similar experiences, I think we can all learn a lot from people who have gone through similar caregiving experience. So find some friends or a group where other people in that group are taking care of their parents and see what they've gone through, see what solutions have worked for them. So you can get a lot of support that way.
So now I have another question because this came up when we had first touched base as well, which is that caregiving for aging parents often look like role reversal, right? So what's your advice about how people should navigate that? I mean, especially if maybe they haven't had the best relationship with their parents, especially if they've had complex trauma.
Right. Well, it is interesting how in so many cases you start kind of feeling like you're the parent of your parent because you start having to watch out for them, suggest things, guide them, help them make decisions, and so forth. So there definitely comes a point where that role reversal starts happening at a quicker pace. And it happens differently in every family because of the family history of what's happened in the past. And so each case is unique. And even in the best of family relationships, the role reversal is challenging. Everybody finds it challenging.
Hey, that's kind of a neat thing to say, as in, if you're having problems navigating this, firstly, understand that even if you had the best relationship, this would be challenging.
Yeah, absolutely.
I could find my body just kind of going,
And it's just one of those things in life that is kind of challenging no matter what. And there's no cookie cutter solution to every family. But I do have some tips for people based on kind of what I've experienced with the families that we've helped. The first is careful choice of timing and language. So what I mean by that is start your conversations early before any decisions have to be made. So there's no pressure. Talk to your parents about what their wishes would be in the future without having them think like you're asking them to make a decision now or you're asking them to make any changes now. And so you need to let them think they're making their own decisions, but you're guiding them. And then choice of language. If you know that there's emotional triggers in the relationship, maybe avoid anything like a dramatic conclusion or a dramatic statement. So for example, if you think your mom's been declining cognitively, like you've noticed she's forgetting things, maybe don't start the conversation by saying, "Mom, I think you might have Alzheimer's." Instead, maybe you say, "Mom, I think, you know, I've noticed you started forgetting some things. How about we create a system to help you remember your appointments? Let's set up a calendar and put all your appointments in." Like, think of like helpful things as opposed to conclusions.
I like that. So as opposed to saying, "I am so fearful of what looks like it might be 5 years from now, I'm going to freak out." What you're saying is instead say, "I've noticed certain things. How can we help to better support this through routines, maybe rituals or systems?"
Writing things down. Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I like that. That's good. I'm noting all of this down, by the way. So
I would say the second thing that occurred to me in kind of this topic about role reversal is don't forget your kids are watching and take this as an opportunity to be an example to your kids. And so, and I say this in those situations where maybe you've had a difficult relationship with your parent. Just remember that what your kids are observing about how you're treating their grandma or grandpa is a learning experience for them about generally how to treat elders, but also it might impact on what they remember when it comes time to them taking care of you. So, you know, treat your mom and dad the way that you would want to be treated when your kids get to the point of taking care of you.
I think this is really, really good advice. Don't forget that your kids are watching. Don't forget that you're a role model, because honestly, this is what intergenerational trauma actually is about, you know, and that's how trauma gets passed on from generation to generation. Yeah. And what you're suggesting is to break intergenerational trauma by saying, okay, you know what? I'm choosing to do it this way. And hopefully that shifts, you know, your whole legacy, and it shifts the rest of the generations.
Yeah, this is your chance to change that pattern. Exactly.
I love it. Yeah. That's great advice. Yeah.
And your kids, you know, we all know kids pick up way more than we think they pick up. And so they'll see, oh, despite, you know, mom and grandma not getting along all the time, this is how mom takes care of grandma. And in the back of their minds, that's going to register. And, you know, guess what? You might not have the perfect relationship with your kids. And so they'll know later on, you know, despite everything I've gone through with mom, I'm going to take care of her, because this is how she took care of grandma.
Yeah, that's amazing. I really like that.
Yeah. And then another tip is, if you have siblings, lean on your siblings and hire outside help if you need to. Respite care is a core principle of self-care. And also setting boundaries and dealing with the role reversal. So sometimes getting an external party, whether it's talking to a doctor, hiring someone like me or others, can really help neutralize the whatever conflict or emotions there are within the family, because now you're introducing this neutral party, and maybe the parent will interact differently with that neutral party than they do with family members. You're bringing someone totally objective into the mix, and that actually helps a lot. The last thing I'll say about this role reversal is you need to recognize and accept that, just like raising kids, your parents may not always make the decisions that you want them to make, and that's okay. It's totally okay. You've done your best in trying to guide them, but your parents are, you know, obviously adult, and they will make decisions that they want to make, and it may not always be what you want for them.
That's really hard. That one's really hard.
Yeah. I go back to the earlier point. Would you want your kids forcing you to make a decision when you want to make your own decision?
That's amazing. Thank you so much for that. In this day and age, a lot of us actually don't live close to our families, and we don't live close to our parents. You know, sometimes not even in the same country. So what are your thoughts about some of the challenges, and what is your advice?
That's where we can offer the most value, is we get brought in a lot where we get hired by out-of-town family members who can't do everything. And so they want to hire or bring in someone who's local to their parents. And it's tough because the adult child who's out of town, they don't see the day-to-day changes in their parent.
And
it makes it really hard to spot the warning signs. Whereas someone who visits, you know, the parent weekly or, you know, a few times a month, they can spot the warning signs. They can see kind of the state of the house. They are more closer to situations where, you know, the parent forgets things. So long distance caregiving can be really tough because it compounds all the challenges we've talked about role reversal and the emotional challenges and the information gaps and work-life balance. And also then you start incurring expenses. So long-distance caregivers have the additional expense of they have to come into town to really have a quality time visit with the parent. One of the things that luckily has happened in the last few years is we've all gotten more comfortable with technology. And
that's true.
Statistics show that seniors are more internet savvy than ever before. I think it's like in 85% of something like that. Seniors are on the internet. And
I agree. Yeah.
So this concept of being able to do a video call with your parents can help. So if your parent isn't internet savvy, take the time to have someone teach them how to use Zoom or Google Meet. And that's a good way to stay connected. Like once they start getting tech savvy, then there's other things that they can do as well that will enrich their life or make it easier for them, such as ordering food online. Also, if you have siblings that are local, recognize that they're probably a lot more stressed than you, because it's often in a family where there's siblings out of town and siblings in town where the parent lives. The ones that are in town get the bulk of the responsibilities. And so I think it's important for just family dynamics to recognize that the local sibling is doing a lot. So showing some appreciation would be good, or offering to do things that you can do from a distance. So, for example, maybe if you're the out-of-town sibling, you can offer to be the one that manages their finances, because that's doable from out of town.
Completely. Maybe, yes. Yes. Yeah.
So think of the things, what are the few things that you could do from out of town that might help the local siblings? And why not ask them directly, what is it I can do to help you? I realize I'm not in town and I can't do certain things, but what would help you?
And that may not be something that would even occur to you because you're just not there. So this is really a great mm-hmm. piece of advice to kind of think about, because they are dealing with the day to day and all the little tiny things that you wouldn't even be aware that they're doing. Yeah. Oh, that's a beautiful piece of advice.
Yeah. The local siblings are the ones that are getting the calls. How do I turn my iPad on again?
Right. That's like, my television isn't quite doing what it was supposed to be doing.
My remote's not working.
Yeah. And they're like, okay, well, is it the battery? Okay, hang on. I'll just come over and I'll. Yeah. No, totally. So that brings us to the close of our formal interview. And usually I'd like to ask one more question, which is, if you could only give one piece of advice to someone who is in this situation, what would that one piece of advice be?
It would be planning ahead, being proactive, and talking to others will go a long way in avoiding crisis and having the widest range of options. It will help you avoid feeling panicked and making emotional decisions.
Oh, that was so well articulated. I might have to like go back and listen to this again. Stephanie, I can't begin to tell you how much I appreciate your time and wonderful advice. I've been madly taking notes, and I think I'm going to start talking to my siblings and my husband about lots of things. So you might be getting a call from me to start working together. I really appreciate your time. Thank you so much, Stephanie, and I hope that we stay connected.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Sandwich Parenting Podcast. I hope that you learned something new that will help you along your journey. See you next time. This is Sherry Yuen Hunter signing off.